Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. And in this video, I'm going to ruminate on the candidates to be Chancellor of Oxford University. This position has existed since the early Middle Ages, and it's elected by congregation, which is all the graduates. And anybody in the world can stand for it. You don't need to be an Oxonian yourself. It's not a prerequisite that you're British or anything like that. So normally it's an office held for life, but the incumbent, Lord Patton of Barnes, has said that he's going to step aside later this year. He'll be 80 years of age, the superannuated Conservative politician and the last governor of Hong Kong. So quite a loathsome character, so he shan't be missed. And who has put his or her hat into the ring? So Lady Elish Angelini. So she is a Glaswegian solicitor. She's not an Oxonian herself. She's Irish, but born in Great Britain. Okay, so that's good. Okay, perhaps I shouldn't be prejudiced in favor of other Irish people, but anyway. Then we have William Hague, a sometime leader of the Conservative Unionist Party. He was the Secretary of State for Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Affairs, a detestable liar, someone who always trim. You ask him a question, you can see his mind whirring to come up with the political answer. Won't give you a straight answer. Now he's out of frontline politics. Hague is willing to be more Hague and be a bit more candid. But, you know, he's saponaceous, also detestable. I don't like him. You know, a complete establishment toady who's got no backbone, no principle, always just trying to deny territories to everybody else, too robotic. No, I despise him. Someone who's an advocate of violence against children. And then we come on to Imran Khan, who's also detestable, who was Prime Minister of Pakistan, is in prison at the moment, convicted of various crimes in Pakistan. Now, he would say that he's been unjustly convicted and the Pakistani legal system is completely untrustworthy. Well, I agree with the second part, that the court system is, well, sclerotic, but often unjust. You can get anything you want so long as you cross the beak on the bench's hand with silver and so forth. But to some extent, that's his fault because he was in politics as well. 1996 is Tehrak-e-Insaf, his movement for justice, which is the first outing, got no seats at all, but did very well. More recently, his persistence paid off, but he didn't denounce the judiciary as he should have done. And he has obviously some role in shaping the judiciary, and he's been hoisted his own petard. He deserves less sympathy than most. I don't think he's guilty of all the crimes that he's accused of. The point is, he's not as corrupt as many are. He did do something for the needy. But what's so despicable about him is he advocates for the murder of apostates. If you're a Muslim who wishes to change to another religion, he says, yes, you should be killed. If anyone blasphemes Islam, he says that must be a death penalty offense. So this is horrific. He is someone who calls for death for those who say things that someone else disagrees with. Anyway, that's outrageous. Every religion is a profanation of every other religion. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, was obviously a blasphemer as regards the paganism that he supplanted and so on. And he's also said that women are responsible for being raped, that it's their fault because men are not robots, that women have tempted men too much. So, wow, absolutely sickening. There he is, an advocate of rape culture. This expression, rape culture, is often misused, misapplied, but here it's absolutely accurate with regard to the sort of thing that he says. So he's got the attitudes more or less of the Taliban. So a truly detestable person. Then coming on to Lord Peter Mandelson. So he was the eminence grise of the Blair years, Labour's director of communications. He was a television executive before that. Well, like Hague, he's an Oxonian. William Jefferson Hague was at Magdalen in the early 1980s, reading philosophy, politics, and economics. He did some master's degree in business in France before joining. He was at McKinsey & Co. Whereas Peter Mandelson, he was at St. Catharines. Methinks he read philosophy, politics, and economics as well. That's what a lot of budding politicians did. And then, Mandelson, as I say, he was sort of television lovey for working for Labour, elected MP for Hartlepool in 1992, resigned twice in disgrace from the cabinet over, was it trying to fast-track the Hinduja brothers' visa applications, over getting a loan from Geoffrey Robinson, the paymaster general, when Geoffrey Robinson was under investigation by the Department of Trade and Industry. That was Mandelson's department. So there's a blatant conflict of interest. He claimed he'd insulated himself from the investigation, but the idea being that one good turn deserves another, because he was under a financial obligation, Mandelson, to this other bloke, Robinson. Therefore, he would make sure his department let Robinson off the hook. Okay, because then Robinson would say, you can pay back the loan over a longer period of time or lower interest, or I'll forgive some of it or all of it or something like that. And he wasn't open about that, okay, about this blatant conflict of interest. So he's grossly unethical. He breaches the Nolan principles in public life, a liar, an advocate of violence against children, again. So an utterly disgusting person. Guilty of all the wrongdoing under Tony Blair, the constitutional vandal, the perversion of the civil service, the politicization of the civil service, the assault on civil liberties. So he's just nauseating. Then we come on to Dominic Grieve. He was Attorney General for England and Wales under the former Conservative government. He had the good fortune to meet me once. He represented Beaconsfield, which was a very safe Conservative seat in Buckinghamshire, is where Blair actually stood in a by-election in 1982 during the Falklands conflict. So Grieve, he's a barrister, wasn't he a Queen's Counsel, King's Counsel as it would be now, but he was a Remainer. And he's actually a quarter French, speaks good French, because he went to Westminster School. But anyway, he's an Oxonian as well. But he was elected to Parliament in 1997, but he later left the Conservative Unionist Party over Brexit. He sat as an independent. I believe he stood as an independent in his former constituency, but was bested. He was also chair of the Intelligence and Security Committee. So he is bland, a cardboard cutout for the establishment, has small L liberal views, a rather tedious person, colourless, very much yesterday's man, pale, male and stale. Now, the fact that he's white or old or a man shouldn't count against him, but it would do a lot with the wokesters. So he's an egregiously boring character, not a bad person, so far as I know. And the last candidate Major General Alistair Bruce of Cronach. I hope I pronounced that correctly. He said on X, formerly Twitter, that he is allowing his name to go forward as a candidate. So he was a military officer for many years. He's a North British toff. He was governor of Edinburgh Castle, and then he became a herald, and he had this curious title, Fitzalan Pursuivant or Pursuivant Extraordinary. Those chaps who dress up as playing cards of the royal coats of arms, who hang around as flunkies at these royal ceremonies, meant to police who can use whichever coat of arms. So he didn't go near any university. He went to Sandhurst, the Royal Military Academy, to become an army officer. So he's not an Oxonian, which wouldn't disbar him from holding this office. So, he's the only military officer going for it. I suppose that's the one thing that makes him a tiny bit interesting. So mostly dull, worthy establishment figures who've got broadly the same views. And that's why you should vote for me, because, and am I anti-establishment? I am in some ways, though a monarchist. Okay, to shake things up and to have anti-woke views and to speak out. The thing is, unfortunately, when elected, I won't be plenipotentiary. It's largely a symbolic role and can't shape policy just to be an advocate generally for the university and the world. Okay, so cast your ballots for me. But this is the Dons are going to slim down the list of candidates because there could be like 100 candidates. Really, what they're going to do is a bit like the guardianship system in Iran, is they're going to root out anybody who would question the establishment. You know, toadies only, you're going to be offered only shades of the same color, which is very sad that you won't get a real choice. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.